Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The Gripping Ordinarily Sarah by Sarah Elizabeth Rose is the story about her experience as a parent of an estranged child held against her will in a church cult. This is the strange story about the dark world that Sarah, who ordinarily lived in a normal, non-eventful life, suddenly found herself in on a cold winter day after a young adult daughter called her to say she no longer could be part of Sarah's life ever. Her story chronicles 20 years of trying to remove her daughter from a destructive cult. During this period, threats from the cult leadership were constant, and death prayers were prayed daily by cult leaders who wished, still wished, to silence her and members of her family as well. Sarah, mother, schoolteacher, ordained pastor, grew up in the Midwest, graduated from the University of Illinois and then the Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago, taught school, and then co-pastored a number of churches with her husband in the Middle West. Sarah and her husband established a charity foundation to help kids at risk. Now semi-retired, speaker, educator, pastor, author of Ordinarily Sarah, Sarah Elizabeth Rose is our guest on This Week in America. Sarah, welcome to the program. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much for letting me speak today.
This is very important. The book is Ordinarily Sarah. There's another book, a book two, and we'll talk about that as we go through the program. I'll give you Sarah's website. You can get information there as well. Sarah, you use a pen name. Talk about the importance of that and why you chose to use a pen name.
Well, the reason is very simple. I wanted to protect myself and my family, my kids, grandkids, the whole extended family, from members of this cult that would want to do harm to me and everybody associated with me. So I felt I had to use a pen name.
You've had threats. I mentioned that briefly in the beginning. Still have threats, and they would love to silence you, wouldn't they? Still would love to.
They would love to silence me. They have no idea that, obviously, that I'm talking to you today, and I don't want them to, but I've pretty well kept things under wraps by using my pen name. So as long as I use my pen name, I don't worry too much, but I do worry. I mean, she's the person who's the leader of the cult, has done some pretty nasty things over the years, and she's kicked people, she's kicked her own children out of the cult because they wanted to think differently than she did. I could go on and on, but she's abused the little children, or at least had. This is the thing. I don't know if she's actually abused them or has her helpers abused them.
Yes.
But my daughter has told some pretty horrible stories of the kids being abused.
So our guest, and you'll, if you Google Sarah Elizabeth Rose is the author. The book is Ordinarily Sarah. Her website is very simple. Sarah Rose, silent no more. Easy to remember because she's silent no more. She is telling the story. Sarah, what did it take for you? What made you decide to write the book, to tell this story? So many obstacles, a painful story to go back and go back through in your memory and write about. Why did you decide to write the book?
I wrote the book because I wanted to warn others from a darkness that can overcome anybody. A darkness which many people just call evil. I would call it evil. A very dark force in the world that is bent on destroying people's souls. I don't want anybody else to have to go through what we went through. But the good side is God won and we're out and we can tell the story now. But it was a struggle. I just feel like there are other people out there that need to be warned about this darkness.
And you do that so well in the book Ordinarily Sarah by Sarah Elizabeth Rose. She's our guest on the program. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, a direct link to Sarah's website to get more information. How do you think people can be enlightened and helped by reading this book? And I ask that people are hearing about it probably for the book for the first time. You really guide people through what you went through and give them sort of hope where they can look to try to get some answers. What do you hope the takeaway is for the people who read the book?
That's the main thing. I hope that they will have hope in the end, that they can get out of whatever darkness, whatever desert they happen to be in, that they can, there is hope. For a while I was hopeless. I think my husband is probably hopeless too. And we felt hopeless, and we were pastors of a church, and a Lutheran church. And I never in my wildest dreams thought that this dark force that I'm talking about would attack us, but we were very much attacked, and took 20 years to get out of it. But there were times when I would give up hope. I would like to, if possible, read a couple of excerpts.
Oh, please, please, certainly, please do.
Okay. This is one part where where I'd given up hope. Where is day? Where are all the people? Where are all the calling birds? Only darkness is here, and cold winds blowing, and hollowed out souls. Where is morning? Where is noon? Where is any time at all? But only night remains, and time stands still, and nothing moves upon the earth. Where is day hidden? Must we seek her hiding place? Is there no one to help us? Must we ourselves push away the darkness? Will not day come soon? Where is day? And I wrote that when I was feeling pretty hopeless.
Yes.
And everything was just dark. And that's kind of the state of my mind at that particular point.
Did it help to write? Did that help expressing, you know, mentally, you know what you're going through?
I think it did. People have asked me from time to time. I don't know for sure, but I kept on writing. I started keeping a journal from the very beginning, and then I kept journaling and I kept journaling, and I didn't know whether it was helping or not, honestly. But if it helped me so that I can tell at least parts of the story to others who are caught up in some kind of dark force or darkness, then it's all worth it. And we all are caught up in darkness from time to time, whether it's a health crisis or a strange child or whatever. We all get caught up in the darkness from time to time. And how do we find our way out? I did find a way out. Not everybody's way out will be the same, but I wanted to just warn people and tell them there is, and also at the same time give them hope, that there is hope.
I mentioned in the beginning that cold winter day when you get a call from your daughter saying that I can't be part of the family ever, in sort of that finality.
Yes.
To that, did you have any realization that your daughter was involved in a cult in any way?
Actually, she had been involved in this church, which really wasn't a church, for about 3 years before she called me. And she had been acting very strange on and off during those 3 years. But I didn't really put two and two together until she actually called me and said she could no longer talk to me or see me ever again. Then I knew that there was a strong possibility that someone out there was controlling her, whether it was a cult or not. I didn't know at the time for sure. I don't like to put labels all the time on things.
Yes.
But it seemed to me, because she had had powerful control over my daughter and her husband and all the others that were in there too, from what I found out later.
Did you try to rescue her?
What?
Did you try to rescue her? Probably the first thought you were dealing with is, okay, how do I get to her? How do I rescue her? How do I bring her home?
I did try. I tried a lot. Okay, so I had two different lawyers over time. I had several different ministers, pastors in different churches that I talked to. I contacted DCFS here in Illinois, and that didn't go very well at all. I had several detectives working on the case. I had several lawyers. I had a mole. One of my lawyers hired a mole to infiltrate the group. Apparently, after he'd been there, he left and said he would never go back. He told my lawyer he was scared to death and he would never go back.
Wow.
I had a court judge. I don't know if I had more than one court judge, but I had a court judge, and that really didn't go anywhere either. I went to two different police stations that were in the fairly near proximity to this church. I sought help from family members. They didn't really want to get involved. I sought help from friends. They didn't really want to get involved. I even sought help from ex-members of this group. I'm just going to call it group because I don't like the word cult, even though that's what I think it was, but of this group who talked to me but did not want to get involved at all. So I had a lot of people that I begged practically to help me, and no one. I even contacted the FBI, and they just said, no, we can't help you. And I didn't get very far with that. So I helped over the years. I sought out many people that I thought could help me, but it ended up that no one really helped me. No human being ever helped me.
So this was like 20 years of closed doors. People you thought, authorities that would be able to help you, were not able to help. Our guest is Sarah Elizabeth Rose. This book is Ordinarily Sarah. She also has Ordinarily Sarah Part 2, Relentless. That is available. Her website is Sarah Rose Silent No More. Book available at Amazon, wherever books are sold. A link on our website. With all this you've gone through, and you talk about in Ordinarily Sarah, book number 2, Relentless, you talk about evil is real, evil destroys. You've seen evil firsthand. You lived with it literally day and night for several decades. Talk about the concept of evil, how you see that, how you try to deal with that.
It's not easy.
I know.
Evil is relentless. Evil can be anywhere. It can be in places where you never suspect it. I believe evil can work through other people. Not that the other people are evil at all. I think they're unsuspecting, but I think evil can work through them, through government, through education, through other kinds of public offices. Evil can be anywhere. It could be joggers jogging down a path somewhere. That's one of the things I learned, was that evil can be anywhere, and we need to wake up to that possibility is for us too. It could destroy us. And I still don't understand why we were attacked, but one church friend of mine said that you were probably attacked precisely because you were pastors and you were teaching about light and goodness and mercy, and then this happened.
Yes.
So I'm not sure what your question was to begin
with.
Well,
it's interesting, just talking about evil and how you deal with that. And yeah, your thought in Relentless is it's real and evil destroys.
Real.
And we need to be aware of it. And you faced it literally over the course of several decades. I guess the other part of that is, did you have any questions about the concept of God as you were going through this? Ministers,
yes,
you've got this in your family.
Yes.
20 years of going through this.
I know.
How did your belief, your faith in God, how did that hold up during this process?
At times, it wasn't very well. It didn't hold up very well at times. At times, I wanted to give up on God. But I always came back to, well, I know you're there, God, but I don't know why you've abandoned me. I said those kinds of things to God in my prayers. I couldn't understand. But I still knew God was there, and that was my hope, that God was somehow still there, and I just needed to go on and see what happened. And in the end, if the suffering we did can bring help to others, then that's okay. We're willing to do that. But there was a lot of suffering. I want to read something else to you.
Yes, please.
This talks about the dark angel. She was I call the leader of the group a dark angel. Okay. The dark angel took away everything. She took away my child. She took away my grandchild. She took away my work. She took away my purpose for life. She took away joy. She took away tears that fall. She took away sleep at night. She took away peace at daybreak. She took away my family. She took away my family to be. She took away memories. She took away the present. She took away color and light. She took away laughter. She took away pieces of my heart. She took away slices of my soul. She took away the world as I once knew it. And she took away my courage to rebuild it. Most terrible of all, she almost took away my faith and nearly took away God. So I had some times when I felt totally, like I had said, totally abandoned by God and wasn't sure if he was really out there for me. But it ended up, of course, that he was. But it was such a struggle. I believe that darkness and light, we'll say darkness is the evil side and light is God's side. I feel like they're in a battle for our whole world right now. There's a lot of darkness going on in the world. But I think the dark and the light are in a big battle. And our battle was probably, I'm looking at my husband, was probably nothing compared to the battle that other people go through. But again, I just want to tell people there is hope. Don't give up. And one of the things I used to pray every day, I used to pray like this. I said, now I lay them down to sleep. I pray thee, Lord, their souls to keep. And if they die before they wake, I pray thee, Lord, their souls to take. I didn't know where they were, but they weren't involved in a church. They were involved with something evil. So I just kept praying that prayer over and over. And what I came to believe and remember first and then believe, and this is what brought me personally, one of the most hopeful things is, okay, God, this is when I almost gave up. I just said, okay, God, well, I feel abandoned. I know you're still there. You may not get my kids out, but I know someday we'll all be in heaven on the other side, and I'll get to enjoy them for eternity. And once I started thinking that way, then things changed. They changed a lot, and I just looked at my life here as being just a brief moment my life, and the same with the kids and grandkids, and my life on the other side as being a beautiful eternal home. So that concept,
yes,
which I truly believe in, really helped me along in some of the really dark times.
Well, and that hope is interesting, and time is going by so quickly. It's a fascinating story, a powerful story. Ordinarily Sarah by Sarah Elizabeth Rose. The second book is Ordinarily Susan, Book 2, Relentless. Her website is SarahRoseSilentNoMore.com. That hope was there, and nearly 20 years later, that was answered. Talk about that, and was there any indication that maybe something was going to happen? I mean, 20 years.
This is really weird. There was no indication. I had just decided, okay, I'm just going to think eternally. I'm not going to think of right now.
Yes.
There's nothing after talking to all these people, and no one could help us, not even the judge, because the court judge said that grandparents have no rights. So we couldn't do anything. So I'd kind of gotten to that point. Okay, now I'm losing my track. Oh, there was something important.
Well, and I'll just talk for a second while you look through your notes there, that this was almost 20 years, and all of a sudden, as I understand, really was all of a sudden.
It was. This is just bizarre. All of a sudden, exactly to the day that she called, that many years later, exactly to the day that she called, it was March 26th. I'm not going to give you the years or anything. By the way, I've changed all the dates, all the names, and all the places so that everybody's protected.
Yes.
But it was to the day and to the hour that she called that many years later and said, I can hardly say it because it was so moving. She said, Mom, this is your daughter. I've been looking for you. And then we started in a little conversation after that. But I mean, what are the chances of that? That many years later, same day, same hour, Mom, this is your daughter. I've been looking for you. So I was in kind of a state of shock, and I didn't know what to do. And I was afraid it might be another ruse or something to hurt me and my husband. So I said, okay, well, do you want to meet? Because we weren't in the same towns or anything. And she said, yes, let's meet for lunch or something. So I said, well, this sounds weird too. I said, well, let's meet at the mall, because it's surrounded by a lot of different people.
Yes.
Surely nothing can hurt us in the mall. So we met at the mall. We saw each other, gave each other a hug. And it was just, the whole thing was just so surreal and so strange. And so I said, well, let's find a table and sit down and have lunch. And we ended up really not talking about all those years gone. We just talked about kind of present times things, and we had lunch, and it was really bizarre too. So many things are bizarre. And then when it was time for her to go home, we both said together, well, we will call each other and set up another time to do this again. And we did, but we never went back to the mall. We went to other places, but or she started coming to our house too, which was wonderful.
Oh yes.
Anyway, that there's a lot of bizarre things in my story. We went to the mall of all things after 20 years, but
well, it was a good cover. It was, you were not going to be alone there. You had a lot of escape routes and a lot of people there. So you were just part of the commotion at the mall. Were there any long-term implications in your daughter and in the impact of the relationship? Obviously you've got 20 years you're missing. How did this evolve? How has it evolved to today?
She still has problems adjusting to what real life is, which is a combination of the darkness, but it also and the light. But it, hopefully for her, it's mostly light. It seems mostly. When she was in the cult, she told me so many things that were terrible. But she said when she was in the cult, she was not allowed to work. She was not allowed to go to school. She had to stay at home and homeschool all the little children that were in the cult. So she did that. And so when she got out, she was kind of, you know, it was here, it was 20 years later. She had no start, not started on a career. She had no work experience and all of that. But she, she's a fighter and she's smart. And she started going to school, and I helped her with that a little bit, and helped her with it quite a bit, but that's okay. She went to school, and okay, I'm losing my train of thought again. Anyway, then after she got out of school, she became a nurse of all things, because she said, I want to help people.
Yes.
Now, isn't that bizarre?
Yes.
But yet, I could tell, I knew that God was working through her, because here she'd gone through all of this and now she wants to help people. So she only, I think a year or so ago, graduated from college, and she's in her late 40s now, but she graduated from college.
Fantastic.
She's been working at a big hospital nearby. She loves what she's doing. I can't figure out what might be going in her head, on in her head from time to time. She did. She and her husband both divorced, by the way. It was just getting out of the cult was just, there was just too much going on. So they got divorced, but she's since remarried. Anyway, now this summer, not only is she, I'd hate to brag, working full time, but she's also going to school full time because she wants to get her PhD in nursing.
You can't. So, you're allowed. Go ahead, Brad.
It's just unbelievable. You know how you can go from basically rags to riches.
Yes.
Not that they're rich. I don't mean that. But I mean, she had nothing, and now all of a sudden she has a life, and she. She's making the most of it, even in her middle age, and I think she'll go all the way.
That
and
is
I don't know what she'll do. I guess it's she'll be like a nurse practitioner, so they help
yes.
the doctors
yes.
a lot.
Yeah, they're sort of like so just far. Under a doctor, and a lot of people end up going
yeah,
there because they
a
like
lot of people go there.
They can
and
spend more
kids,
time with them.
Her kids, I see the most trauma in her kids because they were born into. They were all born into the cult, and they all stayed there the whole time. Her oldest child is the most, went through the most trauma. She had told me that he was kind of the scapegoat for the group, and he would get punished a lot. She didn't exactly tell me what that meant, but she said he would be punished a lot and was. Then the next one down, she had six children, but one of them, I like to use the word murder, but I don't think that's probably appropriate. But my daughter was in labor. This was her fifth child, actually, was in labor, and the group leader wouldn't let her go to the hospital. My daughter was having really hard labor, and they would not let her go to the hospital. Well, by the time the leader said, okay, go now, by the time they got to the hospital, the baby was born dead.
No, sorry to hear that.
With the cord wrapped around its
yes.
neck. So I can't help but thinking that if cult leader had allowed her go to the hospital at first, that the baby
yes.
would have been saved. I don't bring it very often with my daughter, but every once in a while I do. And she kind of thinks the same thing, but she says it's not going to do any good to bring it up. It just is what it is.
Yeah,
and she
it
can't,
happened.
She can't go talk to this lady. And so, and then she had another child, but the last child, the sixth child, She snuck to the hospital when she started labor. She snuck to the hospital because she didn't want to go through what she did with the fifth child.
Well, it's such a remarkable story, and it's all in Sarah's book, Ordinarily Sarah. Now, the follow-up book that I mentioned is Ordinarily Sarah, Book 2, Relentless. There's so much more to the story, and I don't know where the time has gone in a conversation, but we're out of it, and there's so much more to talk. So I will encourage you to get the book, get all of the information. You can find it at Sarah's website, which is Sarah Rose Silent No More. Fairly easy to remember because Sarah Rose is silent no more. Talking about it, she has that in the book. The book available wherever books are sold. I'd like to thank Lit Prime for arranging our conversation today. Their website is litprime.com, helping authors publish, distribute, and market their books for years. And Sarah, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Hopefully we'll have a chance to do this again. There's so much more to the story, and you're able to help so many people by coming forward and telling your story, what you went through. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Oh, can I say one more thing?
Oh, certainly.
About the Relentless book?
Yes.
This is in the preface. I'll just read a little bit from the preface of Relentless. My first book, Ordinarily Sarah, took out all my insides, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. I was turned inside out, and I never thought I could write again, ever. I was finished. But the people who read Ordinarily Sarah soon began to clamor for more. What happened to you afterwards, Sarah? In other words, after the kids got out. What happened to your daughter and her husband and their five kids? Tell us, Sarah. Write it down. We want to know. And so that pushed me forward to write the second book. And it is also, there are some things that are very dark in this book too. But it all turns out okay. And in the very end, what I say is, very last page is, we must never give up hope. Our spirits can all be restored. Perhaps our children's spirits will one day be restored as well. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And that's Psalm 34:18. Your friend in Christ's sufferings, Sarah E. Rose. The second book is, actually, my husband says the second book is better than the first book, so I don't know, but...
You were an experienced writer when the second book came around. So I guess that's the second one.
That makes a difference, probably.
Yeah, a little easier the second time around. What an appropriate way to end the conversation. And again, both books are available at Sarah's website, SarahRoseSilentNoMore.com. All the usual places, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. A link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us, will take you to Sarah's website to get information, order the books there as well. Sarah, again, thank you so much for being with us on the program. A pleasure to have you here. I thank you so much for coming on and telling this painful story, but you never gave up hope, and it paid off in the end.
No.
And I thank you for sharing this message.
Thank you. Well, I did give up hope for a couple of times for a brief time, but then I came back to the hope.
That's it. If you leave hope, come back to it.
That's right.
And it could take a couple of
you
decades.
You can do it.
Yes, come back to it.
Okay.
So much in the book. The book, again, is Ordinarily Sarah, books 1 and 2. Information on SarahRoseSilentNoMore.com. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.